So I'd like to start by talking about an article you penned, touching on a couple of issues you've been following, and that's people with disabilities during the pandemic and the people who care for them, often in their homes. And this week, those groups were bumped up on the vaccine priority list, in some cases recategorized. Here's Health Secretary Dr. Mandy Cohen during this week's briefing.
First, for group one, the definition of long-term care has been updated to include people receiving long-term home care for more than 30 days. This includes home and community-based services for persons with intellectual and developmental disability, private duty nursing, personal care services, home health, and hospice. In addition, for group four, we've clarified that higher risk medical conditions include intellectual and developmental disabilities such as Down syndrome and neurologic conditions such as dementia.
Right. And I was hearing a lot from disability advocates about the fact that they were not higher up in the priority list. And according to John Nash, who's from the ARC of North Carolina, there was a lot of behind-the-scenes advocacy. He talked about bringing data to the state, bringing people from the disability community to state officials to say, look, this is a huge issue for people. And the fact that in the initial rollout, there was, you know, a real focus on people who were vulnerable, but there was an oversight there that it didn't get at those folks who are vulnerable because they have a disability and they might be getting, you know, home and community-based services. That means that maybe they've got an aide coming into the house. Maybe they've got relatives who come in who are unpaid caregivers and they come in. And, you know, if there's a lot of virus circulating in the community, then there's the risk they're going to bring it in. So this was a really important priority group. And it's a big step forward to get these folks prioritized. Now, part of the issue is going to be getting some of these folks who are not mobile. You can't put them in a car. They're really homebound. How do you get those folks vaccinated? And that's kind of the, I think, one of the next big hurdles.
During this week's coronavirus briefing, you brought up a bigger picture question. I want to play a bit of that audio.
What do we know about people with disabilities in North Carolina and COVID? Like, some states like California have been doing separate counts to get a sense as to what's happening with those folks. Have we been counting cases among people with disabilities? And what do we know about how they've been affected by the pandemic here?
And the answer from Dr. Cohen was no, that is not among the demographics collected. You went on to ask more and noted that research suggests that people with some disabilities are not doing so well.
Terrible. People with developmental disorders have the highest odds of dying from COVID, higher than people with lung cancer. I was really surprised to find that out. This was from a study that was conducted by researchers from Johns Hopkins, and it was published last fall, and someone pointed me toward this research this week, and I was like, whoa, I read this piece, and I was like, holy crow, these folks are really, like, number one, highest odds ratio of dying from COVID, developmental disorders. Number two, lung cancer. Number three, intellectual disabilities and related conditions. Number four, spina bifida and other nervous system anomalies. Like, that's above leukemia and lymphoma, kidney disease, Alzheimer's, colorectal cancer.
I want to follow up on a piece that we've talked about before by your reporter, Hannah Critchfield, that looked at how North Carolina prisons report COVID deaths, and it uncovered some that did not make it into the state count, and that article had an impact.
The Department of Public Safety has changed its policy based on the reporting that we've done. They're going to not just internally determine whether a prisoner died of COVID or not. You know, we were able to see from death certificates that we got from public records requests that these inmates had COVID. You know, a handful of inmates had COVID listed on their death certificates, but they were not, you know, officially deaths from COVID in the prison system. You know, it increased the number by three. Now, it's not a huge amount, but it could point to a more systemic issue. And DPS is now saying that there'll be more outside review of how these people died, not just a decision that's made internal to the department.